is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, and although it's a little bit rainy here today, it's still gorgeous, and it is a perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. At the bottom of the hour, I will be talking to Tim Dorsey about his latest book, Coconut Cowboys, but meanwhile, I have a fantastic guest today. She woke up early, and she's in California, so I'm so happy to welcome Larice Molinari. Hi, Larice, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Great. Well, good morning to you.
Thank you. Good morning, too.
Okay, I guess, I don't know if you're an early riser.
I am. I was up at 6. I've got kids to get them off to school early, so okay. I'm alert.
I'm an early riser. I get up at 5, but my kids, I homeschooled my kids, so it was really nice. I could let them sleep in.
Oh, you're lucky.
Oh, I was.
That is a huge benefit.
We did not start our homeschooling day until 9 o'clock. I mean, I said, why? They're not awake so early. So I said, I'll just do my work quietly up until 8:30, and then I'll get everything ready and wake them. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, it worked out very nicely. Well, it's such a thrill to talk to you. First, I have
Thank
to say,
you.
Of course, you are a famous film writer, TV writer, and film writer, and of course, you wrote the fantastic film, My Girl, which was such a great hit, and starred, of course, Dan Aykroyd and Jamie Lee Curtis and Macaulay Culkin back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. The next movie after he had just come out with Home Alone.
Yeah, I remember that, and it was a big hit, and a big hit for him, and of course, at that time, your name wasn't Molinari.
It was Elawani.
Elawani, but you always get really nice names.
Long names,
and beautiful.
Thank you.
So it's so exciting to talk to you. They often say, you know, script writers can't ever write good novels because they only think in terms of, they're visual and they are not wordy people. But you have certainly proven that statement wrong, because your book is, well, of course, this is the third book. Well, the book we're talking about today is called The Dragon's Descent.
Yes.
And this is the last.
It is the last.
The third and the last. And I'll tell you, I was so happy when, of course, you're published by Zonder Kids, which is a fantastic publisher. And they sent it to me, and a couple of things. First of all, ever since I started this program, I get all sorts of strange connections. Like I will be talking to an author, and I will find out that they lived in the same town I lived in 30 years ago or something.
Uh-huh.
And so I started reading this book. As I said, I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I make my coffee. And when I was reading the first few pages, the time on that you mention in the book, in the opening, is 5:22. And I looked up at my clock, and it was 5:22.
5:22, oh, that's strange.
I mean, it was like, whoa. I said, I'm destined to read this book.
Yes,
because,
you are.
You know, because it is... a book that's geared towards younger people. What are they saying? 8 to 12?
It's middle school.
I think it's middle school. I think it's and even older, because it is really so well written. I know it's I'm sure it gets compared always to Harry Potter, but what's beautiful, of course, about the book is that it really there are Christian values in the book. Which I think is very, it's wonderful, you know.
Thank you.
I think it's important, and we got so caught up. Harry Potter was fantastic, and we all owe J.K. Rowling such a great big hug and thank you, because she brought so many kids to reading that hadn't been reading.
Right.
But I so enjoy this, which is what you're calling the Ether series. Mm-hmm. And so why don't you explain a little bit about it? How I know the first one, the very first one was Vero Rising.
Yes, explain. Vero Rising, and then Pillars of Fire, and then The Dragon's Descent. I mean, it all started, my inspiration really came from my own beliefs in angels and that their mission to protect us. I mean, I grew up Catholic, and ever since a little kid, we always recite the guardian angel prayer. And like you say, there's so many wonderful choices out there for kids today, and you know, with Harry Potter and so many great books out there, but not too many about God's fiercest warriors, and you know, and they wage their battle on our behalf. And I just thought it would be such an interesting world to explore.
And you've done it so beautifully. You've created a it's a magical world. And yet one feels so it's so vivid. It's so vivid. And, you know, when I was reading it.
I do feel I've been inspired. How could that just come out of my head? So I do feel that there was some inspiration in writing this series.
Well, that's what I felt, too, as I'm reading. I'm saying, whoa, this is an inspired book. And it is, it's an inspired and inspirational without being, you know, sappy or something that will turn kids off. I mean, it's just the exact opposite. It's exciting. It's thrilling. You have a lot of action. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, when I was writing the first book, my daughter, she was in about fifth grade at the fifth or sixth grade. She would read each chapter as I would write it, and she would just instantly critique. Nope. Kids aren't going to like this. Kids will like this. So I had an instant audience of, you know, how to keep it going and how to keep the action going. But, you know, it's interesting because in 2011, they did an AP poll, and they found out that 8 out of 10 Americans believe in angels. And so once I started writing this book, the most exciting thing that I discovered is that nearly all religious people believe in angels. You know, they're not just Judeo-Christian. So many of the major religions, and that's why I tried to make a book that, you know, works on that level, that anyone can read and, you know, have it tie in with their faith.
And, you know, you've done it so cleverly, much like your main character, of course, is Vero Leland.
Vero Leland.
And he's adopted. And much in sort of the Harry Potter thing, but he is such a different personality, such a different nature.
Yes, he is. I mean, I wanted to make him also a typical 12-year-old boy. While he is very different, and we don't, you know, you find out later where he's come from. Initially, you don't know, you know, how he gets into the family. I still wanted to make a boy that kids could relate to, that he does all the same things that a regular 12-year-old boy does. And, you know, comes up against the same challenges in school, being bullied, having a crush on a girl, not knowing how to deal with it, so that kids could relate to the character.
Well, and you've done it one, you know, as you said, you've taken the entire, all of his friends, all of the people around him, of course, his parents, and you've made them so realistic and so interesting, so that that story just rolls, it moves. And I didn't know when I was started reading that this was the last book, and I was like, oh no, I don't want it to end yet. So I had to go back and get the other two and start again. I mean, people can read this on its own, but it is fantastic when, you know, that's the wonderful thing about the internet nowadays is that, you know, in the old days, a book would be published and you wouldn't be able to find the first, you know, the first in a series. But now everybody can go straight to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or to your website and start at the beginning, because it is a wonderful story. And you know, how did you feel? You know, of course, you were writing scripts for many years.
I was.
And you did how many scripts? You have 30 or something like that, a whole bunch of them?
Yes, yeah, so many. I can't even count them
so
all.
So many.
I've been doing it for about 20 years now.
I know. Well, you know, I have not hit it like you have. I have written many, many scripts. And as a matter of fact, three of my scripts were in the Hollywood Reporter, you know, where you get that, where your script is announced and they do the whole page. And you know that you finally made it, and you think, whoa, this is going to be a great movie. And then, of course, one thing after another falls through. You know, they put it in turnarounds until you go crazy.
Yes. It's so difficult to get a movie made.
It is. But you've been very fortunate. And, of course, it was I just have to ask you, when you did, of course, when you did My Girl, were you involved in, did you get to go on the set and all of that?
I did. I mean, the way I wrote My Girl, I was very young when I sold My Girl. I was at the American Film Institute. I was in graduate school there. I was a fellow, and I wrote it as my thesis for after the end of my first year. And so it was done in June, and then it sold just a few weeks later.
Wow.
I was moving back home. I said, I'm never going to make it in Hollywood. I kind of gave up, and then it sold, and you know I'm still here.
But yeah, well.
It was a very quick process, and you know I can't complain because it really was. And then it was greenlit so quickly after, you know, a few weeks later. Then it was greenlit, so it was, you know, it was an interesting process. It was a little frightening at time just because it was the first thing that I have ever written, and I didn't understand the process and working with a director and what it all involved. But I was on the set for a little while when they were shooting it down in Florida. Every once in a while, it's supposed to take place in Pennsylvania, but every once in a while I'll see a palm tree. I'm like, no.
So
it was a wonderful experience. It really was.
Well, you know, and then at which point did you decide you're going to write a novel? Had you been playing around with other novels before you hit it right here with
well,
the other?
There is a novel that I have been working on for 20 years, and I honestly I put it down for 10 years at a time and pick it up again, and I'm still not done with it. But I started this idea just came into my head because I've always been obsessed with people's near-death experiences and what happens to them, and so much of those involve angels, so it's always been on my mind. So one day I was just sitting down thinking about, you know, this character popped into my head, and that's when I started, you know, writing The Ether. And I have to admit, the first book came very easily. Within 4 months, I was done with the book. And, it just sort of all came together, and I'd never really written a book before. And so for me, the biggest challenge from screenwriting, I can do the characters and their dialogue and the action and keep it moving. But for me, it was writing description. Because in a screenplay, you know, there's hardly any description. You only have 110 pages to get the story out and say everything you have to say. So you don't need to describe how a rainbow looks and that many things. But in a book, you do. And that was the biggest challenge for me, was trying to make it so descriptive.
Well, you did a brilliant job. And, of course, you came out with so many interesting concepts. For example, candle. Just explain what candle is, because I thought that was so clever. And
that candle is the angel school. It's sort of the Hogwarts of the ether. And it's where the guardian angels go to learn and train. And it's... You know, it's been around since the beginning of time, and it's all the angels must go through candle to become a full-fledged guardian angel.
Which is the Cathedral of Angels for novice development, learning, and edification.
And edification, yes.
Oh, I think that's fantastic. So it's all of this thing that you've come out with, of course, on the different characters. How did you keep track of it? Organizer, do you do it on the computer? Do you do it with, you know, cards?
I mean, I write on the computer, but I do just free write too. I have to actually write out all the characters' names, and then I have paragraphs on each because you forget, like, who has what color eyes, who has what color hair, who said this and that. So it is sort of difficult to track everybody because there are a lot of characters in this. And that's where, you know, the editor would come in and help me out and say, okay, well, this one you said this here, so you've got to change his eye. This, so that part was a little tricky with so many characters to juggle.
And you do have a lot, and you do describe them, you know, so brilliantly that they really come alive.
Thank you.
Really great. Who are, you know, of the characters that you wrote, of course, the family, and I think, you know, Clover. Let's talk a little bit about Clover. Who is Clover in the family?
Clover is Vero's older sister. She's exactly a year older, and she is different in the sense that she has visions, and she's always had them since she was a little girl. And when she was a child, it was fine. She, you know, that's the way. It's just she saw life that way. Nothing was unusual. But as she got older, she started to realize that it wasn't normal, that most people did not have these visions and could see the things that she could see. So she became afraid of it. And then it's only through Vero does she learn to embrace the visions and that they are a gift, because she can see things that other people can't see. And that ties in with Vero, because in book 3, in The Dragon's Descent, Vero needs her visions to help him complete his mission. So it all comes together. And she loves him dearly. She used to, when they were little kids, she used to insist that they were twins, even though they were a year apart. They're just very close. But it doesn't mean that they don't fight and didn't get along for a while, you know, those teenage years. But at the end, you'll see that you know, Vero just, and she adored each other.
Yeah, I think she's a wonderful character. You've really developed her beautifully.
Thank you.
Of course, I'm sure in the back of your mind you also see the script of all of these books.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to admit it, and you know
I
it.
Do.
And you and I know that there is going to be a movie deal with these books, because as you know your great talent is you are a visual person, and you have put the vision in the books. You know, there's everything one needs to make a great couple.
Now that all the hard work is over, I can sit down and write the screenplay very easily.
Exactly. It makes it, I think it's going to be a double, you know, when you write a book and then you get to write the screenplay, you get a sort of double joy out of it, you know.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. I know many times I've written a few scripts for books, the writer who wrote the book never had as much fun writing the book as I had writing the script, because it is just so much fun to take a book and to turn it into a script. So
yeah, I mean, I actually think the hardest part for me will be, because I'll obviously have to cut things out. That will be hard. What do you have to cut out?
But I think it's wonderful, and you obviously have a great editor. Zonder Kids, of course, are well known for their top quality work, and I don't think in the you know, young adult fiction is often sort of overlooked by publishing houses. They don't spend a lot of time on it, but in Zonder Kids, they always do an excellent job.
They do, and they really try to put out quality books, you know, to for kids, that to get them reading again, and things that have meaning also.
So now, of course, you must have a nice fan base of kids who have been enjoying the books. And
I do. I get lovely emails from them.
Oh, that must make you...
Yeah, it makes my day.
Yeah, exactly, because it's wonderful to know. And as I said, because I think it has... Well, of course, we talk about... other religions and having angels, but, you know, particularly I think with your Christian influence there, I think the moral side of it, of really encouraging children to do good, you know, and to see good, and to fight off the ugly things in that come their way. That, I think that's an important thing, and I think you've done a remarkable job in accomplishing that.
Thank you. Yeah, I want kids to be able to call on their guardian angels.
Well,
they're there to help them, and they want to help them. You just have to call on them.
And I think that's your book is your well, all three books together will do that for kids. And I think that it's a wonderful thing. Parents should get out there and look for your books. And of course, I just want to say this one is called Dragon's Descent, and it's by Loris Molinari. I love that name. I love that name.
I couldn't hyphenate. No. Elwani Molinari would just be too much of a mouthful.
Oh, yeah. No. It's a great name. And, you know, they can, of course, you have a website?
I do.
And I know you do have a
website. LarisMolinari.com.
Exactly. LarisMolinari.com. And it is actually a very, very nice website. I like it because you have a little promo there and you explain the Ether series, you know, a little trailer, which I think is very nice. And it's a wonderful thing for people to come and look at your website. And I think that's also, there's an inspiration there in the reviews and everything that's written about you, because you have done a great job with this series. And
thank you. Thank you so much.
So you're going to rest now? And are you already working? I'm going to write all day.
Kids are in school, so I'm writing all day.
You're writing all day. Are you starting a new series?
No.
Something completely different?
Yes, screenplay.
Okay. Well, you know, it's wonderful, and as you're, of course, I forgot to mention, and so many people will, of course, have seen it, the Brady Bunch movie. Was that fun to work on?
Oh, it was the best. because I grew up on that show.
Oh, didn't we all? And just say, you know, you did a great job on the script because it's...
Oh, that was fun. And I love being on that set because they really just replicated the Brady Bunch home and walking down those stairs. Oh my God.
I know. When I saw it, I thought, oh, wow, how much fun is that?
Yes, you know, it was.
Just to be involved in that and to capture that. You know, of course, nothing. You just hear the Brady Bunch, and it fills everybody's mind with memories of that show. And you captured it very nicely in the movie script. I thought that was great. You did a great job.
It was so much fun to take the Bradys and put them in modern day.
Yeah, exactly.
It was endless.
Well, you know, it's a wonderful thing. As I say, I encourage people to write. And I mean, one of the things I do on this show, of course, is Joy on Paper, and it is such a joy to see your words on paper, and it is even a bigger joy to hear your words on the screen. It is quite an amazing thing. So I'm just so happy that I got to talk to you about your work. And
thank you for having
me. What's your best advice for up and coming writers? Screenwriters, what should
they
do?
Honestly, I always say, just do it.
Just
sit down and write, because so many people talk about it and so few actually sit down and do it.
And what about script writers? What should script writers do? What's the best advice for script writers? Because that's, yeah.
I feel you need to move to Los Angeles.
Yes.
I hate to say that, but I really think there's so many people out here trying to do it. You move to Los Angeles, you meet people, because once you write a good screenplay, you need contacts to get it to the studios, to get it to agents. And then you meet other writers and you form writing groups and help each other out, because way back when I was in a writer's group and it was very helpful.
And there are a lot of new openings now, you know, although maybe there are fewer movies, but there are things coming up on Netflix and I understand Apple is now going to start, or who else is going to make movies? Google, Apple, Amazon, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, Netflix is doing it. It's a lot more outlets now.
So there is a lot for
television, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just want to thank you so much for joining me today on Joy on Paper, and I know that everyone will... The book really works its way up. I think 15 and 16-year-old kids should be reading this book.
I do. I get a lot of emails from teenagers.
I wouldn't just buy it for 8-year-olds. I would, you know, I know the publishers always do that 8 to 12, but I really think, you know, 12 to 16-year-olds should be reading this book because it's exciting. I mean, it's absolutely thrilling.
I think 8-year-olds have been reading it, but I feel like they miss a lot of the meaning.
Exactly. Like, so
like it probably is better around 11 or 12.
I'm going to encourage all parents to get out there and get to start the series, actually. Lurice Molinari, thank you so much for joining
thank
me
you.
Today. And just keep writing. And
thank
next time you have
you
something,
too.
We'll have you back on, okay?
All right. Thanks
okay.
a lot.
Thanks,
bye
Lurice.
Bye
now.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Looking for a good book? Whether you want the latest bestseller or a rare book, Haslam's Bookstore at 2025 Central Avenue in downtown St. Petersburg is the place to visit. Haslam's has been in business for over 70 years and is the largest new and used bookstore in Florida. With 30,000 square feet and over 300,000 books, you'll find just the right book for you. Bestsellers, cookbooks, military, history, and so much more. Check out their website, www.haslams.com, to find out about their special events. On January 30th, when best-selling author Tim Dorsey will be signing autographs of his latest adventure, Coconut Cowboy. Remember, Haslam's, one of Florida's true treasures, 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. And they're open on Sundays from noon to 5.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Tim Dorsey, whose latest book is called Coconut Cowboy, and I'm so happy to welcome him to the show. Hi, Tim.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Tim, you know, I often give writers the entire show, but I'm not going to do it to you for you today because I am absolutely going to insist you have to come into the studio, and I'll give you the entire hour. I might even not have commercials just so I can talk to you, because there's so much to talk to you about.
Thanks.
Why I wanted you on now is because I know that you have a book signing at Haslam's, and I wanted to make sure that we promoted that, and I know it's going to be, you know, for the area, of course, for you to go into Haslam's, which is my favorite bookstore, and you're going to be there on Saturday, January 30th, and you're going to be selling Coconut Cowboy, and I'm sure all the other books, and signing signatures, so it's so great. You know, I don't know where to start with you. It's like, I want you in the studio, and I'm not sure if what I want is maybe to have a psychiatrist with me because, to understand your mind. You know, I was talking recently, I was telling a group of writers that I was going to be interviewing you, and they all said, well, he's such a stream of consciousness writer. And I thought, I don't know if it's exactly conscious, but you've got a stream going on in that head of yours. It's where do you come out with all these ideas?
As a matter of fact, I'm actually writing another novel while I'm talking to you.
That's what I figured. You're like multitasking. Your brain is, must be darting all over the place because you come out. I have to, before I talk about Coconut Cowboys, because it's a great book, but I just, have to talk a little bit about Orange Crush. That book is so funny that even thinking about it, I think it's because of the political season, you're an amazing writer. Just amazing.
Well, that was an interesting book because that was my third, and I based it on my firsthand experiences as a political reporter up in Tallahassee, covering,
Well, I could tell that there was a lot of inside knowledge about politics. Having myself had some inside knowledge about politics, I recognize that. Oh, he has been there. He has seen these people, and boy, have you! It's a marvelous story. So I want to just, I've been recommending different books to people during this political season that they should read. And I want to tell everyone they have to go back and get this book. I know it's your third book, and this is now your 19th book. Coconut Cowboys, your 19th book. And yeah. For anybody who doesn't know, these are your Surge Storm books. It's hard to describe your characters. Why don't you just tell us about a little bit about the few listeners out there who have not read your books. Tell us about Surge Storm and tell us about the Coconut Cowboy book.
Okay. It is hard to, and I had to work on it because you can't just really easily encapsulate. What I say when I'm speaking to groups that aren't familiar is, I say my main character, Surge Storms, I said he really gets upset when people call, and he's correct. He says, I'm not a serial killer. He says, I'm actually a sequential killer.
I'm telling you, you have to come to the studio. You know, we're right here in Clearwater, and there's no excuse for you not coming down here.
Oh, I'd love to. But the distinction he makes is that serial killers are sick and they're compulsive and they won't stop, until they're caught or die. And he says, I never intended to kill anybody. I never intended to kill another person. But I just keep coming across these jerks and I try to teach them manners and they just won't listen to reason. And then my readers essentially are all the people who, if you tried to describe my main character, they're all the nice people who say, I would never root for somebody like that. I would hate those books. And then somebody persists and says, just read some of it. And they end up loving the books, and they say, I feel so guilty, but I laugh. And the reason why such nice people like such a character is that he's an old school criminal, and so he only preys on people who are scam artists and people who exploit the elderly and take advantage and prey on the weak and the young and so anyway, since he's in Florida, he's really busy.
And that's true. He is. I think he has to be one of the busiest guys around. He's always getting into something new and unusual, and of course he's got this crazy sidekick named Coleman.
Yes, good old Coleman. Yeah, he's the opposite of Surge. He's not very energetic. He's just happy to try to maintain a buzz. Of course, Surge is just the opposite. He just drinks bottled water and stuff like that. So it's definitely the odd couple traveling the byways of Florida.
And they certainly do travel. I mean, well, of course, all of your books are centered around Florida, which obviously you have a great grasp of Florida and the people of Florida.
Yeah, underneath it all is all of these places I love in Florida, and I've lived here virtually my whole life, and there's all these things that I know and growing up that I want to pass along, and that you won't find in the guidebooks. I mean, there's all these little tucked away places and historic lore and things, and who better than to have some psychopath, some insane criminal who has this absolutely unbridled enthusiasm for Florida, driving around, committing crimes, offing the bad guys, and then going and reciting history and teaching people about why they should love Florida.
Well, yeah, I had read one review where they said something like, "Oh, he's like, like Emeril, and he puts the BAM in his books, but you're like Emeril on steroids. You have BAM, BAM, BAM. You have so many characters, and of course, so many delightful names. That's why I'm thinking we have to examine your mind and sort of play word game and find out where all these fantastic names for your characters come from.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I look at a certain type of person and I say, what would that person's name be? And so.
And you do. You talk. I mean, you have. I don't know. There's. Every kind of person that we could think of, from, of course, the politicians. Are you going to do another political book? Because I would think this season must be like getting your feelers up. Oh, there's so much crazy politics going on.
Well, when I did Orange Crush, that was before the 2000. I turned it in early 2000, so my publisher had it, and then. The whole thing with the butterfly ballot and the Chads and the election that wouldn't end and the Supreme Court got involved. And my publisher, because that was really prior to that, I think that was sort of the getting acquainted with how weird Florida is. That was our grand entrance into how dysfunctional we can be. And then my publisher was like, how did you know to write this? Were you clairvoyant writing a satire about Florida politics? And I go, no. It's been like this all along. Nobody was noticing before, though. And so, you can't ask for a better state to live in if you're a writer. I mean, it's just gold in the streets. You just got to pick it up.
Oh, it is. It's a perfect, I introduce my program always as Florida, particularly, of course, Clearwater is a perfect place for writers and the perfect place for readers, because it's just so glorious here. So when you travel all around the state, and do you really go around? Do you go around on a motorbike?
No, I've got this big boat of a car. I've always driven, the big. I had a big Chrysler at the beginning, and that was a car in one of the books. And then I switched to a pair of Cadillac DeVilles back to back, and then now I've got this Lincoln Town Car that looks like I drove at one place, and they asked if I was. If I was like a car service driver, because it's one of those cars that it's this big white Lincoln where you usually see a phone number on the back fender, But it's like driving around your living room, because I do so much driving. I want comfort.
Well, I used to drive a white Cadillac, a 1973 white Cadillac through England. And so I had the same effect on people. Every place I'd go, they'd stop and say, "What is that? What is that?" They'd never seen anything like it. So it's always fun to get noticed when you're driving around, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. And the thing is, the readers. It's almost like my car has become a character, because it's funny. I'll go in, I'll do a signing, and then I'll look on Facebook, and there'll be people. Who like had their pictures, took selfies with my car on the parking lot and posted it or whatever, and it's just bizarre, and it's an honor.
Well, you have an enormous number of fans, you know, who follow. You know, when I, as I said, when I first read Orange Crush, that was the first book. I had just moved to Florida in 1999, and I was, you know, looking around eventually for Florida writers, and that was the first of your books that I read. And it was so astonishing to me, because really, I really can't compare you to anyone else. You are very distinctive, and it's not, you know, it's not, they're not crime books, they're not pure comedy, but you've just combined this marvelous group of characters into one adventure after another.
The secret actually is it's self-help therapy that I'm practicing.
Well, that's what I thought. There had to be some element of that. So, you know, when you, I know, of course, you were a newspaper man, a very serious, I don't know about very serious, but you were a newspaper man. And that's back in the days when there were several newspapers around here. That was the Tampa Tribune you were on?
Yes.
For years. And what kind of things did you write for them?
Well, I started, I was down in one of the bureaus, one of the satellite bureaus in Sarasota, so I covered, it was general assignment, and it was like everything that happened in Sarasota, whether it was arts, or features, or hard news, or courts, or, you know, anything. And then I went from there to Tallahassee to cover politics, and then I ended up as a copy editor at the main downtown office in Tampa. And then I became the Night Metro editor, and that was what I was doing when the first book came out, and I left the paper to go out on my first book tour.
And all of this was in there, all of these words and names. I mean, because you're really good with descriptions, you really managed to set the scene. But it's so often, well, in some ways, you're like Charles Dickens. You have all these fantastic names that are for your characters. What's the one I like? Wilbur Putz and Fuss, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's a name. I mean, it's like it has to go down in history with a name like that. So it's, yeah, all of these. I think it's brilliant the way you come out with all of these characters and really make a story that then, you know, at one point you're laughing your head off, and then you want to know still what's going to happen, there's not really so much, there's mystery, but it's hard to describe, as I said, it's hard to describe your books. That's why I need you to come into the studio here. So, but I know you do love to meet with your fans, because you are one of the authors who does travel around and meet with fans, which is, I think, wonderful.
Yes, I do love to do that, and it allows me to do a lot more travels to do research, because I can't tell you how many times where I will be going either to a bookstore in the evening, or I'll be spending the afternoon in the library giving a talk, and before or after on the route, you know, because I have places, you know, I mean, there's always more places to check out, and so, you know, I've got a scavenger list of places to go to, so when I see that I'm going to meet a certain area, I'll make sure that I, check out something I haven't seen before. So, and usually by the time I get, if it's before the event, I'll come in all, you know, jazzed up, you know, and I'll just be like this, you know, hyperactive kid, like, oh, you know, I can't believe what I saw today, or, you know, discovered, and I'll tell them about my day. But, yeah, it's fascinating to me. I mean, I thought, you know, I was just going to enjoy writing a book, and it would, you know, it wouldn't be published, and it would just, you know, I'd stick it in a drawer, and I would feel the accomplishment of having completed a novel length series of words, and it's just, I mean, it's just, I feel blessed that the people are reading it and liking it and want to come and ask me about it and stuff. So it's a, you know, it's worked out.
Well, it has, it's wonderful. And I, as I mentioned, of course, I am a great supporter of Haslam's. I love the bookstore. Well, you know, it's the only place in town that has more books than I do, so other than a library. So it's a fantastic store to visit and a fantastic store, and I know that people will enjoy meeting you and getting you to sign the newest book. And are you working on your next book already?
Yes. Once I get my comments back from my agent, I'll continue drafting that one. But since you mentioned Haslam's, I had Serge go into Haslam's in the first novel because it's a landmark. It's one of those windows into the past. It's a historic. It's one of those glimpses of, you know, when Central Avenue in St. Petersburg was hopping back in the 50s. That was right in, that area, the pedestrian traffic is way down, and it's not like it was. But the bookstore's still there, just as it had been in all those years. And I went in there, this is back when I was in my 20s, I was really young, and I would, God, it was probably... Yeah, well over 10 years before, the first book would come out. But I would go in there, and they had a great selection of old National Geographics, and I would, go through the index, and I would buy... I was always hunting for old National Geographics with Florida articles in them. And I can't tell you how many I bought in that place.
Oh, it is. It's just a joy to walk in there. It's a bookstore where... everything's well organized, but yet you feel you're always going to make a new discovery, And I'm particularly fond of military history, and they have, of course, wonderful military history, and it's a great place just to stroll around, and you always find something that you've always wanted to read or that you want to read. So I know that feeling. Well, as I mentioned, I have so much to talk to you about. I can't even begin to say which, as I said, for me, Orange Crush was it was just something about it just hit me so hard when I read it that I thought, wow, I don't think I had ever read a book quite like it. But there's the other books, I'm trying to think of which one I really liked. I like them all, but I haven't read quite all of them. But there's another one, Tiger Shrimp Tango.
Oh, okay, that's one of the more recent ones.
Yeah, that's another excellent book, and I know that all of your fans will enjoy the new book. And the minute they finish it, we'll be looking forward to the next one. But I need you to promise that you'll come over here to the studio. I'm right here in Clearwater. It's
okay.
Beautiful. It's WTAN,
all right.
1340, Tampa-based Tan Talk Radio Network. And it's a really great little station. And what I want you to do, because I know you love interesting places, I want you to come in here and, I don't know, bring Serge with you, we have a lot of interesting things around. We have old radios, and we have a lovely control room. And I've got Big Ed, who's in the control room over there, and he'd make a wonderful character. I'm sure you can come up with a really great name for him, and you can turn us all into characters in your next book, in book 21. And we could even maybe commit a murder or two right here in the studio for you.
Who can resist an invitation like that?
I mean, just to inspire you, I might invite. There's a few people I could invite in, and maybe I'll just murder one for you to just inspire you to get writing book number 21. Okay.
It sounds like a plan.
Oh, and you'll love the studio. And when you get a hold of this studio, because it's really delightful, we have all sorts of funny stuff around here, and you'll love it. And we'll love to have you for 1 hour, okay?
Okay. Oh, and if I could.
Yes, please.
If people want to find out more or find out the tour schedule, the whole thing or whatever, it's just timdorsey.com, all one word, or you can just do a search for my name. If I could plug that.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody, go to timdorsey.com and find out the tour schedule and go to Haslam's and get an autograph. And I just want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And sometime, I hope in March, let's plan for March, February, March, that you're going to come in here, okay?
We'll work something out, yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, nice talking to you. Take care.
Okay, thank you so much.
All okay, right. Bye, Tim. It's great to talk to Tim, and if you want to meet him, go to Haslam's Bookstore this coming weekend. It's going to be a really wonderful event at 5 p.m. on Saturday. He will be signing his books. As he mentioned, he wrote about Haslam's in his first book, and Haslam's is just because Haslam's is one of Florida's treasures. So enjoy yourself and get out there and meet Tim. And meanwhile, February 1st is coming up, and Irene Goodman's auction opens up on the 1st, and it is going to be, again, she will have two auctions this month. It's a great opportunity for you to really reach probably one of the greatest literary agents of all time. She is a fantastic woman. She gives a tremendous amount of insight into an author's writing, and a critique from her really is meaningful. So you can go to her website, and that's IreneGoodman.com, and all of the money that she raises through this auction goes to various charities, primarily to help the blind, which of course, as readers and writers, we all know is such a terrible tragedy. And so any money that you, when you win the auction, that money will all go to charity. And Irene will then take your work, and the instructions are on her website, on the front page of her website, and you can go there, and she will, you submit your work, and she will read it, and within a month, it takes her about a month to do a really thorough analysis of your writing, and then you can get your critique. Not only will she tell you, you know, where you need work in your writing, and she's very, very helpful, she will also give you ideas on where other places, you know, how you should approach your next step once you've written your book and maybe made some changes as she might suggest, or just feel more positive about yourself. So go to IreneGoodman.com for that. Now this weekend I'm going to be, if you're looking for me, you know, I always, people always say, well, where can I meet you? And of course I attend a lot of book festivals and book signings, and I was very happy recently to speak at the library downtown. It was really wonderful, but I think it's been a hard month with between politics and the weather and everything. I'm going to head to Miami Avenue Wine Bar. It's a wonderful place just off Gulf Boulevard in Indian Rocks Road. They have live music there every Friday and Saturday night. And I thought, oh boy, that sounds good to me. So for all of you people who are going to be watching politics tonight, and probably you'll be exhausted by the weekend, I suggest that you head over to Miami Avenue Wine Bar and listen to some live music, and just enjoy the environment. It's a fantastic place, and I know you'll have lots of fun. So this is Patsy with a Z, wishing you a great week. Remember, one of the joys in life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. Join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper, when my guest is a fantastic writer, Mike Resnick. You must listen in for this program. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. treasure it and share it. And just have a great week, a wonderful time, and enjoy yourself. Bye.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
It's time for the Thursday edition.